We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. This is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Jason Holland. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored. Thank you. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and that'll get posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located at New Liberty, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Please remember to like, share, and comment so we know you're listening. Today is Thursday. Pastor Dwight is not in the building. However, we do have a message from him through the Truth broadcast. Following this program, we'll end this, and then we'll redo the iPad and come back with a word from Pastor Dwight. That word will be confident in Christ. I think I covered it all.
All right.
Would you please pray to start us out?
I'd be delighted to. Father, it's a joy to open your word. Lord, just any time we have the chance to sit and to think about, talk about, just meditate on your word is a good time, a good thing to do. And so we just pray for your blessing over it this morning. Just asking that you would help me to have clarity of thought and speech as I communicate the truth of your word to those who are listening. And we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Work and Watch.
Work and Watch, that's right.
I think this one might be for me, so
all right.
Open my Bible and my notebook here and get ready.
We will be in Genesis chapter 2. We'll get to that, the reading of the text here in just a minute, but I want to start with a series of questions. Really, it's just one question with a lot of different variables. So why do men want to become a terrorist or join a gang? What is it about those sorts of groups that draw people, and particularly men? What is it drawing them to that? Why do some men become violent or dangerous to those around them? Why do some become obsessed with winning at their chosen career or sport or whatever? Why do some men spend hours and hours in the gym lifting weights, trying to get as big and strong as they can? And more positively, why do some men enlist in the military, the police, the fire academy, you know, all these different things? Why are some men inclined to sort of push the boundaries of the known world as explorers? I mean, be it 500 years ago in the age of exploration when men got on ships and went around the world not knowing if they'd ever return home, or even more current, we still know very little about the depths of the ocean. We have men that are pushing the boundaries, trying to map the bottom of the ocean, or those who have gone into space and are trying to understand to the extent possible the far reaches of the universe. Why is it that if you ask a little boy what he wants to be when he grows up, almost always they will say some brave or noble career? And maybe those are just the things they know about. You know, kids don't know what it means to be a tax accountant or, you know, whatever. But why is it a little boy, if you ask him what he wants to be when he grows up, he almost always says he wants to be a policeman or a firefighter. He wants to be a soldier. He wants to be an astronaut. You know, they have these ambitions to a career that is brave, noble, protective in nature. Why is that? I think it comes directly from our nature. I think it comes directly from how God has created us to be. Yes, we as men, and there's going to be several things in this that are particularly applicable to men, but as to women as well. It comes from our nature. God created us to be adventurers. He created us to be protectors. He created us to be providers. He created us to take dominion over the earth, to rule it and subdue it. He created us to work and to watch over his creation. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to see in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 17, God's commission to us and how we are to work and watch over his creation. And then we'll also see one verse referring back to Genesis chapter 1, and I'll explain that momentarily. But we're going to spend the most of our time in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 17. So let me just read those few verses this morning. Genesis 2, 4 through 17. These are the records of the heavens and the earth concerning their creation at the time that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. No shrub of the field had yet grown in the land, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not made it rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. But water would come out of the ground and water the entire surface of the land. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. The man became a living being. For the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had formed. The Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food, including the tree of life in the midst of the garden, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river went out from Eden to water the garden. From there it divided and became the source of four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon, which encircles the entire land of the Havilah, where there is gold. Gold from that land is pure. Bdellium and onyx are there also. The name of the second river is Gihon, which encircles the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows to the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die." I want to back up just briefly and set the stage a little bit. So I think the last time I was here a month ago, I was just starting at my church to preach through the book of Genesis. And we are only through not even quite two chapters yet after a month of doing this. There's a lot that I want to make sure we are understanding here. So I think the first time I was here, I talked about some of the things that are going to be mentioned this morning. So let's set the stage a little bit. The word, when I was preparing for this in my study last week, was overwhelming. This kind of the word of the week in my preparation time. And not because I was overwhelmed with other things going on, just too busy or overwhelmed with life issues and family issues or what have you. It was just overwhelming because there's so much information to deal with. So how do I do that in a way that is clear, that is helpful for folks, without overwhelming them with information? So for the sake of clarity, the sake of time, I had to leave a lot of things out. But there's a few things I do want to make sure we mention, kind of refer back to previous things that we have seen thus far. So first we see in the very beginning of this that God is creating the man, and he takes him and he breathes the breath of life into him. He takes the man, forms him out of the ground, and breathes the breath of life into him. We see in chapter 1 that God created man in his own image. In his own image, he created them, male and female. He created them, and he created them in his image. This breathing of life into them is yet more proof of God's image being in them. None of the other creation, none of the rest of creation, none of the animals or birds or plants or whatever have the breath of life that God breathed directly into them like man does. Just further proof that we are unique among all creation, that we as image bearers are unique among all creation. And then this one of the other things that we see is Genesis 1 really presents Eden as a proto-temple, this place where God meets with man. This place where God and man can meet, the holiness of God and the man can meet together. And we see this in a number of ways in chapter 1. I think I brought those out last time I was here. And then as we see, even things like the way the rivers are described here sort of play more into that and how they are described. And with the gold being there, the gold that is described in this chapter is something that is figures heavily into the temple. The onyx stones are the same type of stone that the high priest wore on his ephod, and on the onyx stones had his each of the 12 tribes' names were inscribed on these, and there's just a specific type of stone called onyx, which is mentioned here, just kind of furthering this idea that the garden was a temple, a proto-temple where God would meet his people. So moving on into our actual chapter this morning, what we're seeing is not a second creation. We're not seeing God creating again. We're not seeing a second account necessarily of creation. Or what we're actually seeing is, so if you think about it like being in an airplane, chapter one is like the 40,000 foot view. You look out and you can see, you know, all the section lines down below you, and you can see the cars, just little tiny ants down there driving along the roads, and you see the circles where the irrigation has been watering the crops. You see all these things from the 40,000 foot view, but you can't see a lot of detail from up there. You can kind of see the different colors and things like that, but you don't get a lot of detail. But if you, as you come in to land the airplane, you're going to begin to see more detail. The lower you get, the more detail you get. So what we're happening here in chapter two is saying, hey, we're getting some more detail. We're landing the plane a little bit. We're zooming in, if you will, getting a little bit more detail on a few of the incidents within creation. It's almost as if, and I read somebody described it like this, like a parade. Chapter one is like the parade has gone by, and then chapter two is somebody describing a couple of particular floats in the parade. Like, hey, did you see that float with about the man and how the man was made and all these things? And so this is how we're looking at it. It's not a second creation, not a second account of creation. It's just more detail on certain events within creation. So that's what we get here in these particular verses we read this morning. So out of this, we see that God provided a perfect home for his image bearers. And in that home, putting them in that home, he gave them responsibilities within their new home. So in this new home, this garden he has given to them, they have responsibility. It is their home, but they have responsibilities when they're there. They are to take dominion over the earth. And to do this, they must rule over it, they must work it, and they must watch it. Okay, we're going to see this in two parts this morning, purpose and provision. Purpose and provision. So let's look first at this idea of purpose. People need a purpose. An idle man is a dangerous man. And the same thing is true for a woman, but in different ways. We need something to live for. We need something to pursue. We've heard things like, you know, an idle mind is the devil's playground. You know, idle hands are a danger to the owner. Just these various things, these little proverbs, if you will, of truth about needing purpose in life, needing something to accomplish. And so God gives us purpose right out of the gate. We need a purpose. We need something to live for, and God has given us that. And so in each of these three sections to come, we have the opportunity to live out our God-given purpose. Will we choose to rule the earth in a manner that is healthy and productive? Will we choose to work hard and provide for and care for the people and the things that have been entrusted to us? Will we choose to keep watch with vigilance over the world and the people in our care, physically and spiritually? And this is not, like I said when we started, this is not exclusively for men, but it does have particular application for men, as we particularly need something to work hard. We need to put our bodies to doing something. So we are told to rule the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. So I said I'm going to refer back to this one verse really quickly because it kind of sets the stage for all the rest of it. So God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." So the old King James Version that I memorized as a kid, or at least read as a kid, as we are told to take dominion over the earth. Dominion sounds strong and, you know, all these things, but it simply means that we are to exercise our God-given authority on earth. We are, as image bearers, we are representatives of God on earth. We are essentially living as if our job, in its purest state, is to represent God. What would God be doing if he were here on earth? And so we are to exercise our God-given authority to take rule over, to exercise authority over the earth and creation. So this is a call from God himself to be creative, to be bold in taking the good of the earth and supporting human flourishing. To take the good things of our home that he's given us, this earth, this world, and use those things to support human flourishing. to use its resources for our good, to employ plant and animal and mineral resources to provide for the good of humanity, to use the plants for food and the animals for labor, and to fashion the mineral and material resources into food and shelter and so on. We are to take the earth and exercise authority over it, use it for its intended purpose that God has given us, not in an exploitative way, not in a way that is harmful to the earth or harmful to other people, but in a manner that serves humanity while also demonstrating value for the world that God repeatedly called good. If we read in chapter 1 over and over again, the Lord sees at the end of the particular days of creation, and this was good, and it was good, and it was good, and God calls the creation good. And so we are to love the world, we are to use the world for our good, but also keeping in mind the value of the world that God repeatedly called good. So we are to rule the earth. We are God's regents on earth. We are to take his authority and use it to take the earth and to use it for our human flourishing and also for the flourishing of the world and the rest of creation itself. And we see that in the things we're doing this morning. If we hadn't exercised our authority on earth, we wouldn't be sitting here with microphones and paper and all these other things that we have. We have done this to a great extent. We've also, you know, erred in certain ways, but we are exercising our authority to use the earth for our good as well. So we're told first to rule over the earth. And then in verse 15 in chapter 2, it says this: "The Lord took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it." So this is where the title comes from, to work and to watch. To work the earth has the implication that you think it does. We have to be people who work. God made us to work. He built our bodies in ways that are designed for activity. It's funny, if you think about it, when your body is not working, that's when it becomes weak. Work doesn't make your body weak, it makes it strong. I've broken my arm 3 times in life, okay? Various different reasons, just things I was doing. Actually, all of them dealing with sports, because I like to play sports, and so I've broken my left arm 3 times. And each time when I've had a cast, after I get my cast off, the arm that I haven't been able to use, the arm that hasn't been working, is smaller, it's weaker, I don't have the strength I had previously. It doesn't work quite as well as the other one does because it hasn't worked, because it hasn't been used. And so God created our bodies to work. He created us to be active, not to sit on our duff and do nothing, but to be active. And that doesn't mean if you have a job where you're sitting and at a computer that you're doing something wrong. We do need to take care of our bodies and get exercise, but we are created to work, to do something productive with ourselves. So God created us to work. Of course, we're going to see in chapter 3 that work before the fall and work after the fall are not exactly the same thing. Work before the fall was a joy and a delight, and it was something that, while possibly physically demanding in some ways, was not frustrating. Chapter 3, God tells Adam, you're going to eat by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to bust your hump in order to get something to eat. That's not the way work was prior to the fall, but work still existed before the fall. Work is not the result of the fall, neither is it a punishment for the fall or a thing to be avoided. In fact, Genesis 1 tells us that God himself worked. God himself worked. We see that it says that on day 7, God rested from all the work that he had done the previous 6 days. God worked. On the previous 6 days, he worked all the work of creation, and then on day 7, he rested. God worked. Work is not a bad thing. If it was a bad thing, God wouldn't be doing it. And then something interesting we see in verse number 5. No shrub of the field had yet grown on the land, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not made it rain on the land. And then this last part of this verse is interesting. And there was no man to work the ground. Verse 5 indicates that our first occupation, Adam's first occupation, was to be that of a farmer. Naturally, I mean, that's, he's got to eat, you know, he's going to have to work the ground a little bit. But it also seems to be that the earth itself needs people in order to produce as it should. We are about the business of assisting the rest of creation in its command to reproduce according to its kind. So Adam, it says here, the Lord had given these plants, but there was no one to work the ground. The earth needs a man. The earth needs the people to come along and to work the ground, to work to help the planet, the plants propagate, to produce like they should. We have a job to do. God's given us work, and the earth needs us in order for it to thrive as well. Just as we need the work to thrive, the world needs us to help it thrive as well. So it seems that the earth itself requires the intervention of man for its success, its growth, its flourishing, its propagation. So some applications that we can draw from this idea of being created to work. Number one is just have a positive attitude toward work. We live in a time, in a culture where work is something to be avoided, something to get away from, to do as little as possible. And I get the fact that there are a lot of businesses, a lot of companies that are exploitative of their employees, and they work them hard, they don't pay them well. I get all those things. So I'm not discounting those things in the least. But I do want us to understand, too, that work itself is not a bad thing. We need to have a positive attitude towards work, seeing work as beneficial for us, beneficial for others, and beneficial for the world. We need to have a positive attitude, a positive outlook in life towards work. Work is a good thing. God worked. God told us to work. He told us to work before the fall. All of these things indicate that work is good, and we ought to have a good attitude, a positive attitude toward work. Next is that, well, I think we ought to turn the modern understanding of rest and work on its head. We need to rest in order to work, rather than to work in order to rest. So we need the time off. Our bodies are not designed to just go indefinitely. We are not robots. We're not machines that, as long as you keep putting fuel in them, we just keep producing. Okay, that's not how we were designed. We need the rest. Our bodies, you know, God made us sleep. In fact, scientists don't really know why we have to sleep, why our bodies, what exactly happens when we sleep and why we sleep. But God made us sleep. It's almost as if, like, hey, you need to shut down for a while every day. Like, you just need to shut down and rest for a while. We need that restorative time. We need that every day at the end of the day, just to sit down and sleep and be restored. We also need that, you know, weekly. That we, you know, in this country, we have, you know, usually 2 days off of work on the weekends is the typical pattern. But it could be at any time. But we need seasons, rhythms of life where we don't work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's nice when we get longer periods, too. You get a vacation once in a while. You take off work. But all of those things should be with the goal of restoring us and refreshing us so that we can go back to working. The ideal is not that we never have to work. Although that's, you know, you see people buy lottery tickets and they want to get rich and all these things. And having money is not in itself a problem. But if you ask people who are wealthy, often they're miserable because they don't have any purpose in life. They're not working for anything. We need to work for something. We need purpose. So we rest to work, not work in order to rest. And then I think we also need work. So number three, I would say we need work that is worthwhile. I would say most jobs today, most people's work is something that is worth doing. Even if it's not, you know, changing the world, right? Work is still worth doing. You two ladies have jobs here, and, you know, nobody outside of Elk City may ever know your names or understand. Same for me. I mean, nobody. I'm not making a name for myself. I'm not on the national preaching circuit or anything like that. But our work, it matters. It's valuable. The same thing for the people who are sacking groceries at the grocery store or checking, you know, at Hutch's when you go in there to fill up with gas and you go in and buy a drink or whatever. The lady who checks you out is important. All the way up to, you know, very important jobs like the president. All of those have value. And so I would say most of the jobs we do today are worthwhile, but not every job is worth doing. And so I want to give two categories, or really one category, in two different ways. We need to avoid work that either exploits people or exploits the earth or exploits creation. So I would say in this, that is work that does not honor God. You cannot do those jobs in a way that honors God. So I would think, like, anything to do with, pornography or something along those lines. Those things are exploitative work. My own personal opinion, and I may not make some friends with this next one, but I would say certain jobs in gambling are exploitative. I used to work in a bank, and I've seen the devastation that can happen to people when they go to casinos and they spend all their money. And so I would say just be very careful in that how you do that. Work that exploits the earth. There are 1,000 different ways that we can do this, but just having a job that's not in some way exploiting what God has called good and trying to exhaust its resources for temporary gain rather than seeing the earth as valuable the way that God called it valuable. We're going to talk in a minute about how we protect the earth and our responsibility to watch over it. But we do have that responsibility to not exploit the earth beyond what the Lord has allowed for us to exercise good authority in doing. So I think this is a good spot to take our mid-morning break, and we'll get back to how we watch over the earth here in just a few minutes.
We want to pray for Beverly Petros, who's having some heart issues. Pray for wisdom and guidance for the doctors and for complete healing. I have a little cousin named Brooklyn McReynolds who was diagnosed with a defective heart valve, and she will be seeing a cardiologist in November. And then we want to pray for Traveling Mercies and a good report for Joe as they are going to Oklahoma City for a visit with the spinal surgeon that removed the tumor.
I asked Neva last week, I don't know if you all know that Neva and Joe were the reigning dance champions at the Dragon Main Festival in Cheyenne. I asked Neva if Joe was going to be able to dance, and she said no twisting was not allowed yet. So,
so. I'm
at the end of them out there. Yep. I'll add a couple of things to pray for as well. I'll pray for Israel as well and the ongoing difficulties that are there. And then, I don't know, if you guys saw this on the news, but the shooting that took place in Maine last night, last I saw, there were at least 60 people that had been injured. So, I don't want to get numb to these kind of things when they happen. They happen, they seem to happen frequently, but we can't let them, just another one happen. So I'd like to pray for those folks as well. All right, so let's pray. Lord, I just want to hold Beverly before you this morning and the heart issues that she's having. Lord, those things are scary. It's one thing when you mentioned a few minutes ago breaking an arm. That's something that you can fix and is pretty easy to deal with, Lord. But having heart issues and internal things that you can't quite see and understand fully can be scary to you and to those who love you. And so we just pray for Beverly and her heart. Pray for wisdom, for guidance for them, for the doctors as they treat her and how those things need to be addressed. For Brooklyn, Lord, with a defective heart valve, God, especially... In someone younger, it's scary when these things are happening. It's scary for the parents and those who love this one. So just pray for your comfort for them. May they sense your presence. May you give them a sense of your peace in this time, God, as they seek treatment, as they seek your wisdom and your hand in this. And we also pray for Joe and God, just a good report from the doctor as they travel to the city. Pray that you watch over them, help them to make it there safely, God, and get a good report back from the doctor. And that, as we know, Joe wants to be up and active and around and doing all those things that he loves to do, Lord. I just want to pray as well for Israel and the conflict that's going on there, Lord. I am not smart enough to understand all the nuances of it. I don't pretend to have all the information. But God, I see the news and the bloodshed and the slaughter and the hatred and the animosity that's there. And so I just pray for peace. I pray for God, restraint on both sides. I pray for your hand of mercy on these folks, Lord, that they would just, for supernatural reasons they may not even understand, God, they would come to a place of wanting to sit down at the table together and come to an amicable solution rather than shooting and killing and maiming one another. God, I just pray for your peace there in that area. And for those whose lives were altered or lost last night in the shooting in Maine, Lord, my heart breaks for another one of these situations. Lord, I just pray for your comfort, your grace, God, that you would, God, you'd be near them. You'd help them, God, bring Christians near them that they can share hope with them in a time of fear and chaos and questions. God, may you in some way turn this for your good. We pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. They have Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer at 5, and Bible study at 6. Wednesday nights, they have Bible study and youth group at 7. For more information, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.